children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there was no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud in darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Amen. God bless that reading from his word for his name's sake. Let's bow our heads, please, for a moment around the throne of grace. Let's ask God for his help. Our gracious God and Father, we ask thee now for thy help that thou hast promised to give. Thou dost know that we all need a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. We pray that thou wilt do what thou hast said thou wilt do. If a father, being evil, knows how to give good gifts to his children, thy Son certainly said that our Heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. We ask thee for the Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, fall fresh on me. Fall fresh upon this congregation. All for the glory of Christ, and in His name we pray. Amen and amen. For over 200 years, Israel had been subject to the cruelties of Egyptian slavery. But that long stay, despite all its hardships and heartaches, was not without divine purpose. God was raising up a people in accordance with His own covenant, whom He was going to greatly bless. The funny thing is this. When you are in the midst of hard times, you never imagine that God has a designed purpose to bless you mightily through the hard times. All we seem to focus on in the hardships is the hardships themselves, and fail to remember that God has a far wider and all-encompassing purpose and plan to work all those things together for good, and ultimately, of course, for His eternal glory. I say we forget too easily that in the midst of hardships, they're all part of the plan and purpose of God through the hardships to bring a mighty blessing upon it. That was the case of Israel. At any rate, the time for Israel's deliverance had come. I think all of you here know well the story. God calls Moses to lead His people out of Egypt. Pharaoh, of course, is not so eager to do the will of God as is Moses. But after 10 plagues, the last one being the death of his own firstborn son, Pharaoh and his people want Israel out of the land as fast as they can go. And so, some 1 to 2 million people make their way out of Egypt into the wilderness. God instructs Moses to have Israel encamp by the Red Sea, and it isn't long before the pillary cloud and fire stand stationary over the banks of the Red Sea. But Pharaoh, very much like, if you recall the scene in Pilgrim's Progress, Pharaoh's very much like Apollyon, who will not lightly lose his subjects, even though his own firstborn has not been long dead. Pharaoh hardens his heart yet again toward Israel and decides he's going to bring them back into Egypt and put them back in chains again so they will be their servants. So, with somewhere in the vicinity of 1,000 chariots, Pharaoh rides furiously into the wilderness to subdue this people who he is sure have become entangled in the wilderness. While the Israelites are encamped by the edge of the Red Sea, someone yells out, must have been, someone yells out and was passed through the camp, someone yells out, there's a cloud of dust coming closer and closer. All too soon, Israel realizes that Pharaoh and his army of chariots have come to get them. In front of them is the Red Sea. To the left and to the right are mountains. What are they to do is the question. Moses gets before the Lord and cries to Him for help. A cry that must have been similar to that one uttered by Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. O our God, Jehoshaphat said, we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon Thee. As Moses is there on his face before the Lord, God gives Moses a very strange command. In verse 15, the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. Those words from the mouth of God that came to His people some 3,500 years ago come afresh to this church tonight. Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. What we must do now is go forward as a church and as individual believers in Christ. Indeed, let me hasten to say that as each one of us goes forward in our individual Christian life, then it will be certain that the church collectively will go forward. In some ways, we stand or we fall together. So from this text in verse 15, I want to speak for a few moments this evening on going forward with God. First truth I set before you from this text, God's people must go forward no matter how impossible going forward may seem. Consider for a moment or two Israel's situation. Some 1 to 2 million people, it's a lot of people by the way, lie encamped by the Red Sea. The army of Pharaoh is closing in fast from the rear. From verse 3, we learn that Israel was shut in by the wilderness. In other words, there was no escaping to the left or to the right. In other words, when they were along the Red Sea, Pharaoh was convinced that he had Israel in a corner from which there was no escape. But let me say, God was the one who had him in a corner. God was the one. It's right here that God tells Israel, go forward. As strange a command as ever there was to a human ear, the Red Sea is what's in front of them. God says, go forward. Any path would have made more sense to human reasoning than that. At least go back and fight Pharaoh, or try to escape to the mountains on the right and on the left. But God said, go forward, and going forward meant crossing the Red Sea. Crossing the Red Sea. Several truths I gather about this path of going forward. First, the path which God sets before His people was a very distinct path. God made it very clear the direction that He wanted Israel to take, and He makes it very clear to us as He speaks to us about our own lives and about our own church. Go forward. Go forward. Don't go backward. Don't shift to the left. Don't shift to the right. But go straight ahead. Therefore, you can be dead on sure that no matter how impossible it may seem to you to go forward, the Word of the Lord, the path He sets before our church is very distinct. Forward. You may well respond by saying something along the lines, well, preacher, that's easy for you to say. You don't have my problems, and you don't have my trials, and you don't have my temptations. You don't know what I face every day in my job, at my home, wherever it might be. And I say to you that it doesn't matter what makeup the Red Sea is in front of you, the one you're confronting, God says to you, go forward. It doesn't matter what the makeup of the Red Sea is. God says, go forward. That's the command. You know, this wasn't given just as a history lesson. Don't mean to offend you, Philip. This was not given just as a history lesson. By these things we are taught how we are to live the Christian life in any generation. And here God brings His people to the edge of a Red Sea. The Pharaoh's army is up on their backside. And God tells them, go straight ahead. Yes, I know the Red Sea's there. No matter how impossible it may seem for this church to heed that word, one word you must hear loud and clear just now at this point in the life of our church is this command from God. Go forward. Perhaps some of you think that we can't expect anything more, anything better, anything greater by way of usefulness, by way of prosperity in the work of God. You may remind me of how small we are and how dark the day is, and you may remind me of how hard men's hearts are. You may think that we ought just to stay right where we are satisfied. Well, let me tell you that if all we look at are the reasons why we can't go forward, you can be dead on sure of one thing. Not only will we not go forward, but we will go backward. If that's all that we look at is the impossibility of crossing the Red Sea, whatever the Red Sea might be, we will not go forward and we will go backward. The path that God sets before our church is very distinct. The path forward, furthermore, is a dark path at times, often. The way forward is a dark path. I want to point out that they crossed at nighttime. Verse 20, it came, the pillar of cloud and fire between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these. By night. Nighttime. Wasn't daylight. Nighttime. It was during the morning watch, that is, dawn, that Pharaoh's army was overthrown in the midst of the Red Sea. Dawn. Wouldn't it be better, someone had to be saying, to cross at the break of day? We simply can't do this at night. Marching 1 to 2 million people across the Red Sea, it doesn't make any sense. No matter how... Now remember, it's Almighty God we're talking about. He could have done anything He wanted to do with Pharaoh's army, right? But no, He says, I want you to go forward, and I want you to do it at nighttime. The dark path. No matter how dark the day in which we live, no matter how dark the world, no matter how dark things may be in the Church of Christ, it is the will of God that we go forward. I do not set out for you the rate at which we go forward, but I do say this, going forward is not an option. We have to go. There is no other way, there's no other path that God sets before us, and oftentimes the way forward is going to be a path that's marked by darkness. You may feel that it's nighttime in your soul. I can appreciate that. Things are dark, you feel. You haven't perhaps seen the light of God's face in some time. You haven't felt the sunlight of His love beating down upon you for many a week, or for perhaps many a month. And you are wondering tonight, how in the world can you go forward in your spiritual life when you can't see any light at the end of that tunnel? And I am talking from real experience. Let me tell you, whether or not you see the light, it is there. It is there. For Israel, there was a pillar of cloud and fire that was going to lead them each step of the way across that Red Sea that looked impossible to get through. And no matter how much in the dark you may be about the will of God, no matter how ignorant you may be of God's truth and of how to go forward seems so impossible, Christ is there to lead every step of the way because He said He would. Because He said He would, and He is our light. Christ is our light. The path forward was also a downward path. Did you catch that? Downward. Consider carefully the path they had to follow to get through the Red Sea. It was, of course, lower in the middle than on the sides. And the path that God set before them to go forward took them downward before it took them upward. And let me say that it is always the way of the Lord to take His people downward before He takes them upward. We don't like that. Flesh hates to be taken downward. The way to the crown is always to the cross. It was Peter who said, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may, in order that He may exalt you in due time." But there was no exaltation apart from humiliation. It is the people who humble themselves before the Lord that God promises to revive. God says in Isaiah 57 that He will revive the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the contrite ones. That wonderful promise that we've often prayed, quoted over and over again in 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If My people, which are called by My name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek My face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." The promise of all promises of revival starts with humbling oneself, going down. Therefore, brothers and sisters, the way forward for this church, like it or not, is the way downward. You may say to yourself, "Well, preacher, we're pretty low already, aren't we?" I will tell you that the Lord has ways that you and I never dreamed us to bring us down even lower, in order that He may bring us higher in blessing. The fact of the matter is that no matter how weak the desire, how little the progress, we must go forward as individuals and we must go forward as a church. There is only one path, regardless of the fact that it's downward at times. We must certainly not go back. To go back is to go back into defeat, to go back into bondage. What church has God ever used that went back from the path that God set before it? Tell me. I know not one. When it seems impossible to go forward in your life, God says, go forward. Secondly, there are certain steps we must take as God's people in order to go forward. I doubt that any of us here this evening would want something different for our church or for our lives than that of going forward. I believe that beating in the heart of every child of God in this church is the desire to get to higher ground, to get to a place of greater blessing and greater usefulness in the work of the Lord. I would believe that of all of you tonight who are God's people. But the path forward involves going forward by certain clear, definable steps. In other words, there are certain key areas in our lives in which we must take steps to get in that forward direction. And as we take those steps, we will go forward with God. First, let's go forward in our faith. Let's advance in our faith. Let's grow in our faith. From our standpoint, this lies at the foundation of any and all progress that we're going to make this year. The Israelites were staring the vast Red Sea in the face, an impossible obstacle to overcome. It was not going to be crossed apart from faith. It was because Moses believed the Word of God that he lifts up his rod and the Red Sea parts. But had he not believed the Word of God, the rod would have never been lifted up and there would have been no parting of the Red Sea. And it's going to be by faith that we're going to see our Red Seas parted. What's your Red Sea tonight? What is it? The one that you think you just can't get through it. I would exhort you strongly to go forward in your faith in God's Word. Believe Him, brothers and sisters. Believe Him. Go forward in your faith in God's power. You can't do it. I can't do it. It is a dependence upon God's ability and not ours. Go forward in your faith in God's love. Believe. Lean hard upon the truth that He loves you with an unchangeable love. No matter what happens, no matter what you think about yourself or what others may think of you, your God holds you ever close to His heart. You stop believing that and your world will come crashing down around you and you will not make progress. Your world will get darker and darker and darker. And you will lose hope if you live in doubt of the fact that you are dear to your Father's heart. The Israelites were thinking that way because they were facing a Red Sea. You brought us out to die in this wilderness. We told you so. God doesn't love us enough to deliver us. Not only go forward in your faith, those are steps that we have to take. Let's go forward in our fellowship. Let us go forward in the first place in our fellowship with God. Go forward in our times and seasons of communion. I know there's plenty of room for change in our prayer closets. When you all say amen to that. Isn't there plenty of room for a deepening of fellowship and abiding in Jesus Christ? A level of freedom and a level of boldness, a level of earnestness, a level of wrestling with God, a level, hear me properly now, a level where we have a holy desperation. I don't say despair where there is no hope. I say a holy desperation where we are like Jacob and hanging on to the angel of the Lord and saying, I will not let thee go except thou dost bless me. I'm talking about that kind of pray. We must go forward in our fellowship with God, with His Son Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what we have to give up, what we have to cancel, what we have to rearrange. But oh, we will not go forward if we do not go forward in fellowship with Him. But you know, there's something else here. We also need to go forward in our fellowship with each other. big churches, whatever that word means. Let me do a sidebar here. I was saying to my wife the other night, you know, I got to believe there is some pastor somewhere sitting in some corner of God's vineyard, unknown to anyone. He's sitting there with about 5 to 10 people. He's been sitting there for a long time. He would think he was in revival if he had the size of our congregation. He really would think that. And then I said, I got to believe there's some pastor out there sitting with 100 people. And he would think he's in revival if he had 150 or 200. Where does that end? When do you become a big church? But big churches, that's what started all that little sidebar. Big churches have a greater variety of things to offer by way of fellowship. Little churches don't. All we have are each other. These are our families. And we need fellowship. We can't do without it. We need to go forward in our fellowship. In our being together, in our getting together, not just to view church as something you blow into on Sunday morning, and blow out after the service, and blow in again on Sunday morning, and blow out after the service. We need to go forward in fellowship and pray God to sweeten and to deepen the fellowship that we have. That must happen to go forward. We need to take steps forward in our families. If there's no family altar, build it. Break the Word of God daily, fathers, to your children. Read with them and pray with them. Going forward in our families means going forward in our marriages. Going forward in the spirituality of the marriage. We're Christians, our marriages are different. They're spiritual relationships. They're marriages that the ungodly, the lost in this world don't have any knowledge of. They can't because they're not indwelt by the Holy Spirit. But because our relationships are spiritual relationships, that must progress. Practical terms, it would mean the greater submission of the wife to the husband, and the greater love of the husband for the wife. Our homes must progress. They must go on. They must go forward with God, no matter what the Red Sea is.
Pastor, you just don't know my husband. He's a Red Sea. Preacher, you don't know my wife. She's a Red Sea that I can't seem to cross. And you want me to grow in my love for her. But there's this and there's that. My marriage is not what it ought to be. Go forward.
Take steps forward in the training up of the children. That's a daily task. My, how sometimes you feel like it's a Red Sea that will never divide. God says, go forward. Be dead and earnest about obedience. Dead and earnest about them honoring you. Dead and earnest about correcting disobedience. Go forward in your families. Let's go forward in our fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. Fruit. Fruit grows on a tree, not for the sake of the tree, but for the benefit of others. Being a benefit. And fruitfulness in our lives, bearing the fruits of the Spirit, will make us beneficial to others, whether lost or whether saved, and we won't be that hindrance that we fear too often that we are. We also have to go forward in our fight. Progress. Fighting with that trinity of evil, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Fighting there for Christ's cause. He says, hold the fort, for I am coming. All right, we're going to keep on holding the fort. We're going to keep on fighting and fighting and fighting for the cause of God and His truth. Though no one join us, we will keep on fighting. Resolved. As a brother and I were talking the other day, if I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down fighting. I will not go down with my back to the enemy. You see. But you see, I'm not going to go down. But that's the mentality. We need to go forward from our failures. From our failures. Oh, we know those so well. They're like quicksand. We get caught up in our failures. And we wallow in our failures. And we just get deeper and deeper up to our necks in our failures. But however impossible it seems to get past our failures, we must go forward from them. The Lord Jesus Christ did not come into this world and go naked to a cross and die and suffer the awful horror and hell of Calvary that you and I might live our lifetime in failure and defeat. That is not why He came. Blessed be His holy name. Thirdly, when, stress the word when now, go ahead and underline if you're taking notes. When God's people go forward, they will discover that the path forward has already been prepared. If you look at this great company of Israelites, as you hear them complain to Moses, and as you watch that cloud of dust from the Egyptian chariots get closer and closer, you realize that fear has gripped their hearts. They were convinced that this was the end. They were convinced of it. We're going to die in this wilderness. But God, you see, has already prepared the path forward. Let me say the same holds true for us. The path forward for you and me in our spiritual lives and the way forward for our church has already been prepared by the Lord. Already it's prepared. Like Israel, we may be gripped by fear as well. And we may fear failure in anything we attempt to do for God. Oh, that's not going to work. Oh, that's not going to work. Oh, that's not going to work. I'm going to fail. I'm going to fail. I'm going to fail. Fail, 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 fail. That's all Satan keeps shouting in your ear. Fail, 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 fail. You're going to fail. You're going to fail. We may fear that we will be drowned by our sinful flesh and the passions of the old man. We may fear that nothing is left to us but a life of bondage and never rising above it to live in liberty. And we will no doubt find ourselves in circumstances where it seems that we just can't go forward. But note, please, first, God was the one who put them in the very spot where they were now, all in preparation for going forward. To have been in any other place would have meant that they would have missed seeing this wonderful intervention of the Lord. Now, when you're at the Red Sea, and it's not parted, and the army of Egypt is getting closer and closer, you find it hard to believe that this is a wonderful place to be. Don't you? This is wonderful? Oh, I'm having a happy time of it. We are a people who live so much by our feelings. We live by our circumstances and our situations, and hence when we find ourselves facing a situation that would seem to tell us that we can't go forward, we do well to remember that this God who we call and believe is sovereign, He's King, who has purposed all things after the counsel of His own will, from start to finish, that God has providentially put us right in that very situation that's bringing so much fear in order that He might prepare a path for us to go forward. God, He saw His people by the Red Sea. He knew the fear that was filling their hearts. He saw the situation was impossible for them. He knew it. They can't do this. They don't have any power to make that Red Sea part. I know how they're feeling. They're scared to death. And He brought them there deliberately. Deliberately. It's right there, and nowhere else but there, that they were going to see the salvation of the Lord and see the path forward open for them. And He will open the way for you to go forward. He will do that. Believe that, and all will be well, and you will go forward. There's a second truth. The Israelites found out that when they did go forward, God led them every step of the way. The pillar of fire went before them all night. God led them all the way. Whatever is before us, whatever Red Sea is over the horizon, I do not know what it is. I know, you know what I know? There's not just one Red Sea for us. All our lives, God puts Red Seas before us. For Israel, it was one time they did this, but it's not that way with us. God keeps bringing Red Seas before us. So whatever Red Seas are before our horizon, I do not know, but one thing I do know is that Christ will go before and He will lead the way. He will lead. Lead. He will be there beside us to guide us by the hand. We will have His direction and His presence. Therefore, why can we not go forward? It's when they did go forward that the Lord led them. You well know what would have happened if they didn't go forward. Final thought, the path forward is the path to blessing. For these Israelites who would learn the lesson, they were taught that day that going forward was the path that led them to the best and greatest blessings. First, two things I want to say and I'm done. First, they saw their greatest obstacles and fears vanish before their very eyes. If they would just go forward. The Red Sea was a great obstacle. They were afraid of the Egyptian army. But you know that fear just vanished? That obstacle was removed as they went forward? It was only by going forward that the enemy would be vanquished and the obstacle to progress removed. Fear always paralyzes. I don't know what to do. What am I going to do? What are we going to do? Fear paralyzes. No progress. Faith goes forward. Finally, they were taught the value of trusting in the Lord's leading. They had been griping and complaining to Moses, why'd you lead us here? Now they find out, well, we can trust, at least some of them did. There was always some group that was ready to be slaughtered in the wilderness because of their unbelief. But how many were taught the value of trusting the Lord's leading? So therefore, brothers and sisters, if all that's true, why will we not go forward? We don't need to ask the question, how can we? We don't need to wonder if we can. The lesson here is go forward. God will take care of the Red Sea. There are steps we must take. We must take them. But taking the steps of faith, in those areas, we advance. God write His Word upon our hearts for His name's sake. Let's bow in prayer. Let's seek the Lord together. Our gracious Father in heaven, Thou dost know the Red Seas Thy people face, even now. We thank Thee, Father, that in providence Thou hast brought us to the place where we are. And we believe, Lord, that Thou hast not brought us here to leave us, to abandon us to an Egyptian army that would seek to devour us. We believe, Lord, the promise. Oh, now we pray for grace to go forward. Father, for that child of Thine that even now feels that going forward is absolutely impossible, I pray that Thou wilt put their eyes upon the arm of Thy mighty power. Lord, part the Red Sea. Thou dost know we don't have the power to do it. We can't get from one side to the other unless Thou dost move. Move, Lord. Do what Thou hast promised to do. Lord, honor Thy promise to us. We pray, command the Red Sea to part. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen and amen.